This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt is probably the brightest person I get to speak to all the time. Just a brilliant thinker on private equity and business and generally a lot of topics. Matt, talk to us today about the Milken Conference. The Milken Conference, named for Michael Milken, famous sort of high-yield bond guy, junk bond guy from the 80s, 90s, went to jail in an insider trading scandal, then has famously rehabilitated himself with lots of positive different, you know, efforts. Talk to us about the Milken Conference, you know, and what can you share with us?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Happy to. It was some fascinating coverage this year, you know, try to listen for the trends and what some of the biggest names in private equity are saying. And I think to probably no one's great surprise, an estimated deal slowdown in 2022. You know, last year was a banner year, really just across the board. So in light of rising interest rates, it kind of follows that there's probably some slowdown in deal making, especially too also firms coming off of a glut of deal making and looking to kind of optimize and operationalize their portfolios, kind of spend a little more time managing the businesses and maybe on sole lead generation, particularly in the middle market where we have a lot of GPs who kind of work on both sides of that house. But another comment and sentiment that seemed to come from some of the speeches and coverage, at least that I was able to catch, kind of had a thought of, well, is there sort of a risk appetite shift? It used to be that the public markets, you know, would attract investors, particularly retail investors, into blue chip stocks, and you could go there and, you know, make your 6 to 8% equity return relatively safely. And those with a higher risk tolerance and other kind of accredited investor types would go into the private markets and do private deals to find more of that alpha, right? And make that outsized return. And, you know, are we seeing a shift? Are we at an inflection point just given the state of the public equity markets where now, you know, you make private deals that have, you know, shorter hold periods, but still not beholden to quarterly reporting, where you can generate more kind of standard free cash flow returns that you can count on. And now the public equity markets are where investors go to speculate. And I think it's kind of an interesting idea, and that speaks to the future of deal flow in the private markets too, right? If that is true, you know, we'll see maybe different types, maybe longer due diligence, a different kind of approach to investing in these markets as we all sort of try to rebalance our portfolios and our investment approaches.
But it's sort of a fascinating perspective about the public markets. I mean, and there's so many different pieces of the public markets that have made it so complicated for an individual investor. I mean, you go back to the Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch theory, you're just going to buy good companies to play through back and forth. But as an individual investor trying to assess what is really a good company is so hard. And then you have no control over these macroeconomic trends like interest rates loosening and tightening, other than we know that it's cyclical. And when interest rates loosens, the equities are going to go up. When they tighten, they're going to be challenged. But there's, it seems as though more and more, you know, Warren Buffett said at his meeting that it's more of a casino. And yeah. It leads me as an individual investor to be more index-driven versus individual company-driven, because when you think you know something, you realize very quickly how little you don't know, and there's so many pieces of it that are outside of your control. So I don't know that that goes hand-in-hand with what Milken and they're saying, that they private equity folks will tell you that they have more control over everything than you do investing in the public markets. The returns on private equities over the last 10 years have been slightly better versus the S&P, but they would say, well, but in a bad time, they'll do much better. And who knows, because even private equity funds are all over the board. You're not buying an index private equity funds. They're all over the board themselves as well. And so it is hard to assess, isn't it, as an investor, and in what people are saying and thinking.
Yeah. And that's that's I think the underlying trillion-dollar question, right? Is where will that future volatility lie? Will it be in, or where will it be greater, I should say? Will it be greater in the public equity markets, or will it be greater in the private equity markets? So even if you look at averages and benchmark returns, and even if they're about the same over a period of time, you still want to understand what is the volatility, what is the distribution of those possible outcomes of returns. And if even if private equity or one vehicle or the other is maybe a little bit of a lower return, but if the volatility is lower, right, it's you're more certain you're going to get that 6% return versus another vehicle where, well, the average is 6%, but we could be anywhere from negative 20 to positive 20. You know, that's going to attract different types of investors. And I think there's just a lot of questions out there right now about what does that look like going forward? Will the public equity markets remain sort of this blue chip investing area where I can put money, get that kind of long-term equity risk premium every year and be safe? Or do I need to turn to the private equity markets to do that?
Right. And it won't be every year. I mean, no matter what you do, it's going to be ups and downs. It's a matter of whether if the S&P is down 70% this year, can you have the mindset, well, it was up 24% last year, so I could still live with that, or whatever the number is. It's just for many of us as individual investors, it's very hard to live with that as ups and downs. And that's why it's so important, I think, for people to have allocations they could live with. So when it does tank, you don't feel like you have to panic sell. You could live with it, but it's hard. And then on the hope is with private equity investing, you're going to do better, and you're giving up liquidity in exchange for hopefully doing better. And then the hope is that the private equity difference is truly a difference. It's not a timing difference, because it's easier for private equity funds not to show the results. The biggest public ones have to. They have to sort of revalue their investments every year, and the smaller ones do as well. It just seems it's not as clear of a number, because it's much less evaluation science there than it is in the public markets, where it's listed in the Wall Street Journal every day.
Absolutely. And I think this is also kind of underpins another topic that you and I have discussed too, is just the availability of those investments. Right. And so, the private markets are what they are. You can access those. You can buy the publicly traded private equity firms to get into that, or you can be an accredited investor. You can be an institutional investor. But then for many other individual investors as well, your other real option is the public equity markets. And just the number of companies that exist there has halved in the last decade or so. And, we're seeing, it seems like most of the companies that go public, or at least a lot of the ones that grab national attention, financial news attention, are, to Buffett's point, they're making a bet on a winner takes all sort of mindset, right? We're going to be the next big tech company. We're going to IPO, come ride this ride. And we're seeing that bubble certainly deflate, which I think will have other ramifications through, what's left of the public equity markets as well.
The other thing that you mentioned is the access to private equity investments, to venture capital investments, is really very challenging sometimes. It's very easy for certain funds that you can invest into the public markets, like Blackstone and like some others, but for most of them, you just can't. And so then you have to either do it through a Goldman Sachs or somebody else who can get you into these things, or try and get into them directly. And I found trying to get into a couple, now I haven't told you yet this today, most Harvard people will tell you it every day, and by, it's already 10:30 or so, and so by this point most Harvard people have already told you they went to Harvard, but I have found that getting into Harvard was easier than getting into certain venture capital funds. Like that, literally getting to Harvard Law School was an easier feat than getting into a few venture capital funds that they just don't really want individual investors. They really want, they're huge institutional investors. And so they'll let individual investors in, maybe if you show them your LSAT scores. Well, I'm teasing about that, but it's like, it's been almost harder to get into certain VC funds than it is to get into certain to Harvard Law School. And it's but it speaks to the accessibility issue. And then you have no sort of like you're putting money in with the hopes that they'll continue to do well and uncover opportunities and be great investors, but you have very little transparency into it. You're just like you're just so almost in this weird situation where you're so they know you're just so fortunate you've taken their money that you know, they're taking your money that you better not bother them, you know, which is a very weird way to invest as well. But fascinating world.
Absolutely.
Because the number of public companies has halved. You're absolutely right. Something like that. The number's way down. There is just a total blow up right now of a lot of these things that were pandemic darlings, the Pelotons of the world, even the Netflixes of the world, which are great. At least Netflix is a great franchise, but Peloton's fascinating. But they got into the bike manufacturing business versus just what they were doing, which is a debacle. But there's so much of this out there, and what a challenging, very challenging as an individual investor to guess what's going to perform or not perform. I just find it increasingly, like I thought Amazon was going to be great. I invested in Amazon finally, and I love the Amazon Web Services business, the AWS business, and turns out, you know, they're holding a ton of Rivian tanks and Amazon, you know, earnings tank. I mean, just it's so what you don't know, the known unknowns are so incredible. It's almost like a Donald Rumsfeldian type thing. You just don't know what you don't know about these companies, you know, unless you're a professional investor. And then even listening to professional advisors is so hard because most of them are just asset gatherers versus deep thinkers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I wonder, you know, if there's some sort of correction or change coming in the way we approach asset management, the value there, providing access to various investment vehicles for people. But I think, you know, it used to be back to Buffett's kind of casino take that people would say that kind of in a glib fashion. And of course, you know, our memories are always very recent with a recency bias. But gosh, you look at what's going on in the public equity markets and with the rise of meme stocks and the volatility that we've seen year to date. And maybe that's more true now than it ever has been, which I think is concerning for all market participants, large and small.
And sure might be. What it does, though, is, and to some of these points, it does drive me further and further back to just investing in the S&P index, figuring I can't pick individual stocks. I'm going to make sure my allocation is only so much weighted towards equity so I could live with it. But trying to avoid, you know, when everything you can guess on a niche fund, individual equity, stuff like that, you know, dabble and it's not the core of my investments, S&P indexes, it ends up being a debacle. And I just hope it's not the same with the different private equity funds, venture capital funds I've invested in over the last several years that does end up being winners like the S&P generally for some of the individual stocks, which I get very hard to judge. But fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
Fascinating to watch. I mean, every time there's something that goes wrong, we all either reinforce our education or get an education. So here's the things going wrong so we can all learn a lot and make sure they're not too expensive of lessons.
Well said. Well said, Scott.
Matt, always a great pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. Always a tremendous pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.